Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, welcome to another TMT comic episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Horton, and who's traveling through time with me tonight?
Red Fox.
And welcome back. We're bringing... It's another TMT comic again.
Surprise.
And another mini-series that I'm assuming is very important to the main story. So,
there's a few... Well, now that I reread it again, there's a few parts out to me that were obviously foreshadowing and stuff like that. So we'll get into it.
Yeah, no, when it comes to this series, there's like very little that's throwaway. It's interesting.
This is true. We did cover a few that were throwaway, and that really is about it in most cases.
Yeah, there's not almost everything like... So I went into this because you had kind of talked shit about this arc for a while. And I wasn't sure. I'm like, okay, I had no expectation. I'm like, fuck it. Yeah, I got to read it. Well, I'll just cover it. And so I went into it with low expectations, and I was surprised by how much I enjoyed these four issues.
Well, I'll tell you a secret. Since it has been some time since I read it, reading it again, I was also surprised how much I didn't hate it. So, yeah.
And this came out in 2014. So we're still, we're only 9 years ago at the moment now going through our turtle stuff. So the first issue, the cover, this is also a miniseries that takes place in between the 30s, somewhere in the 30s, I think is where we're at right now. Because they freaking, yeah. This is taking place around like issue 37, 38 of the main series. I don't know if it's going to connect or how well. I mean, I'm assuming certain things in here connect for sure. You could just tell.
Yeah, there's some do. And I'll point out a couple things without ruining stuff.
I behaved myself, but there's one that we'll be talking about for one of these issues that I'm pretty damn sure was not a coincidence that they did that to me. So, but we'll get there. So it starts off, the cover is the four turtles on top of a triceratops. And right there, when you say turtles in time, like I know you and me, we both immediately go to the SNES game.
Yep.
Immediately. So it has a high bar to even jump over to even be like, can you handle the name that you just gave yourself? Like, that's a name.
Can you live up to the title? I mean, cause yeah. Like you're saying here, Turtles in Time, that title alone is sacred.
And
not
one of
only
the
our
best
generation, but just Turtles games in general. Yeah. I mean, unless you're getting into Turtles 3, which wasn't Turtles in Time, but we have another podcast for that one.
Yeah. All right. And then the first issue starts off, you're very, like, it doesn't, you don't really know what's going on. You just see Raphael hitting a dinosaur. And that's all you get. He's punching a dinosaur because, you know,
he breaks some teeth out. He's pretty violent about it.
But they can't use a sigh, huh? Can't use the sigh to, you know, hurt him.
Yeah. Even if he's holding it. I don't know what he did with his other one, but yeah.
And I do like how you just see the turtles running from dinosaur and Leo's like, Ralph, stop trying to fight them. Just run.
Yeah, it's pure chaos out the gate.
And it does kind of remind me of the game, you know, of that level, the prehistoric level in Turtles in Time. So that... And then you, in a couple panels, you have Outroms riding dinosaurs, which they have, like, metal enhancements on them. They have, like, you could kind of tell, like, right away I knew we were in the time, you know, and the universe where the Outroms that we saw in an earlier issue, Outram Empire, were on Earth with dinosaurs.
Yeah, so, and that's the ongoing kind of thing here, is that turtles are going through time. They just so happen to be going through time on Earth, because, you know, there's obviously other planets, there's even other dimensions. Yet they stay on Earth going through time.
Yeah. And I thought that was interesting. And I'm assuming that all this, like, when I read these books, I pay attention to everything. Because anything that they put emphasis on or they draw differently, I'm like, there's a good chance this is going to be something that matters. So, like,
I'll
tell you
right now, yes. In this issue alone, there's a long-term character in here. And I won't say who it is or what it is, but there's a long-term character in here.
Okay. Well, one, because I you might be referencing, well, there's two characters in here that are different, that are unique, and I'm assuming one of them, I don't want you to tell me, but when you have Raphael and them running, Raphael gets grabbed by, like, a purple net, and that purple net, that goo that they, or pink goo that they put him in, it really made me think of something from the game Turtles in Time, like when you get shot by Krang in his little ship.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what went to my head.
It just looks like a bunch of gum.
Yeah, it does. But at the same time, a little dinosaur gets trapped with him, which he then names Pepperoni.
Right. How convenient, huh?
Hey, I'm okay with it. It was funny. This comic made me laugh.
And then,
you know, yeah, like,
some comics,
it's funny,
based on this issue. And people were like, man, that's the cutest Outram I've ever seen. Talking about the, the scientist Utrom.
Oh. I like the scientist Utroms.
They look like little Kirby's.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this issue too. Like, and then you have the turtles running. They jump. They run off a cliff because they get kind of herded by the Utroms and end up running after a big dinosaur. And I like how you could, there's a little bit after this where the Utroms are wondering, you know, maybe they are intelligent, but then they see Michelangelo throw an apple at the dinosaur's face and then run. So they think they're stupid. Like, the line is, you know, for just a second there, I thought those things might be intelligent. Clearly you were wrong, jerk, because they watch him throw an apple at it.
Right.
It fits Michelangelo, I thought. Him just kind of being
definitely does.
Stupid.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody, any race is going to judge the turtles for their intelligence based on one turtle, and they get run into Michelangelo, yeah, it's going to be stupidity usually.
But again, I think that works well for this because you don't want, you know, when you're, the whole idea of traveling through time is you got to be careful what you're doing to time because you can mess things up so much.
And there's only one person that's even aware of that, as we'll see later.
Yeah. I mean, they're not. Also, because the idea when you go through time, you will see your past self, unless you're Chrono Trigger, then your past selves are also your future selves that are also with you in the same time frame. But yeah, that's a different thing. But the idea that as you go through time is you could see yourself if you're in the same era as where you were. I guess Chrono Trigger doesn't matter because you don't go, you're just in the one. Okay, never mind what I'm saying. There'll be more later. Don't worry.
Turtles, in this case, like, I don't think any of them have really thought about it too much because turtles have been reincarnated. They've been through similar processes, such as time travel, but none of them have actually dealt with it. So, I mean, and you can imagine when they're growing up, like in their human forms, that they really run into that. Probably not.
The
only person to really fathom that is going to be Donatello.
Yeah. And I felt these issues do a good job with that, as we'll get to, too, which I liked. And God, there's a reference I can't wait to make later on. So, so that they run into a cave, and I did laugh again. Where Michelangelo picks up a rock. He's like, I got this. He's going to throw a rock again at the dinosaur's face.
Yeah. Like,
he didn't learn
the first time, yeah.
And then finally they just wait. The dinosaur leaves. And then Renee shows up for the first time in this issue. And again, she has a scepter from Turtles 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confused, like, what was happening. Like, she can't talk because there's something wrong with the machine. So her, essentially, universal translator doesn't work. And I thought that was...
Yeah. They again, like, this entire issue is pure chaos, and this just exemplifies that.
But again, it makes that annual important, because if you didn't read the annual, you wouldn't know they had met already previously. They know who she is in this.
Yeah, you would have to begrudgingly read that annual and kind of know what's going on here.
And I gotta say, I really like the art style in this book too, like, because each book is different, but like, I really like the cartoony style in this book particular.
Yeah, I don't mind this issue. I didn't hate it at all. This particular artist, I mean, even Michelangelo, when he's talking to Rennet here, there, he has kind of that Utrami face, as you'll see later.
Yeah, he does.
That's kind of their style.
I mean, the more I've been reading the Turtle comics where we're going issue by issue, I'm getting much more okay with artists changing. Because, again, it makes sense. I mean, it takes a while to draw a book.
I mean, I don't think, in most cases anyway, I don't think I'd want to see the same art style throughout the entire series as long as it goes on. Especially if it's a style I hate. I mean, this gives us an opportunity to kind of see it in a different light.
Yeah, and I do like that, except when they drew April as a frog. I've been fine ever since. I hate that. I hate that way that guy drew April.
That was one of their bigger mistakes art-wise.
But no, everything's been good. Like seeing Raphael in the cage with a little pepperoni and him trying to break out, there's one panel where he's biting the bars. That made me laugh, too. Mm-hmm. And pepperoni's biting the bars with him. It's little stuff like that that I really appreciate. Like, I don't know, it's just, and again, after what we read, and I know bad shit is coming in this book. Like, I haven't read, but I can just tell, like, bad shit is coming. So it's kind of nice to have some really, like, you know, chill issues.
Yeah, they give you something lighthearted to before all the real shit goes down.
Because I'm assuming the next two arcs aren't going to be real, so the main series.
Not as real as it gets.
No, but we're not that far from vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, they go and they see Raphael, and as Raphael's in the cage, he cuts off one of his bandages, I guess, from around his leg or something, and puts it on Pepperoni, so Pepperoni has a bandana.
Yep.
I like that a lot. And then the whole thing, like, with Michelangelo flying on a pterodactyl and throwing rocks, did the same thing come to your mind that came to my mind?
What's that?
Foot soldiers in the game.
Oh,
the foot they ride the orange. Or, no, maybe they don't ride it, but the orange and like blue pterodactyls will come with the music and drop rocks at you.
That did not come to mind, but
no.
I see where what you're going for. Yeah,
that's what it made me think of. Not the first time, but right now while I'm sitting there flipping through the pages, I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I did laugh my ass off when they just dropped the rocks and they just sit there like, oh god, they just start running.
You know, these Utroms are like shitting themselves. They're panicking, like full, like take cover. They're acting like grunts from Halo, and they're in like metal suits. Like, what are these rocks really gonna do?
Not much. But again, like, remember what the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi do to stormtroopers? I mean, I guess rocks take you out.
I guess good point.
But those are trained soldiers. These are scientists. So.
Right.
But it's just funny that Michelangelo's just so reckless in this. I really
is. This is his time to really have some fun. If you're gonna take him to any era, this is one that really would fit him, I guess. There's no rules, so it's pure chaos.
But there's also no pizza.
It's also true. I think you noticed that this whole time.
Well, I did notice it later on when the end of this issue. I noticed what they were doing. But like they beat the shit out of the scientists. Like, I like how Raphael makes a comment before they get out. He's like, "Yeah, I'll take like six of them. You can take one of them, Pepperoni, or something like that." And Leo took everyone out, has them all tied up by the time he finally gets out.
Yeah, like as you see in that dance, Raph is showing, and they actually almost changed up the art style, made it very serious, and then everything's already done. So it's like, oh, yes.
I really like that one drawing of Raph and Pepperoni where they do look serious, where everything else is cartoony, the fact that
really nice.
Donatello didn't go for Raphael first. He just starts freeing other dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Again, makes sense. He's thinking more logically. He's thinking, okay, we got to make sure we have a diversion. Then we'll go rescue our brother. Even though, like, they don't need it. But and then as they're doing this, you have, because they gotten a message out, then you have the military shows up, which is more like what you're used to from Utrom. You have five of them that look like commandos, and one of them has a red eye and, like, cybernetics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming either him, well, the only two characters that could be either him or Pepperoni, but when I saw him, I'm like, he's going to show up again for sure, just because if they went through the trouble to draw him differently, this book does not do throwaway things for no reason. If they make a character and they give him a name, he's coming back. So that's my guess.
In most cases, I'll let it unfold for you.
I really like that, though, like seeing the military, seeing them in the mech suit type, not the mech suit, but like the crawler thing they use. Like, it's all cool because like it also shows you, because they mention they mentioned Quainin, which is the one that you see Krang talking to, where you really get to kind of realize that these fuckers don't die. Like, they live for fucking forever.
As far as we know now, they've never shown an Utrom die of old age.
No, they just get murdered.
Sometimes very violently, yes.
Well, I mean, they are just little brains, so.
That are, I mean, taking over, like, dimensions, but they are little brains, yeah.
Yeah, which I like. I do appreciate them. It is kind of funny to think that the Utrom Krang all came from that 87 cartoon. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Stupid cartoon. But as they're running away, they run to get chased, and I do find it funny that, you know, they lead the Utrom to where the dinosaur was. And then the Utrom do the same thing. One of them goes to throw an apple at the dinosaur. I thought that was funny. You know, but as I'm paying attention to this, I can't tell if the commander goes with them or if he stays above. Because it doesn't show him in the panel where they're shooting and scared. He's not in there. Okay. Again, the way I look at this book is like you have to look at it. Yeah, no, he survives. I see, because he's in a later panel. All right, never mind. Again, nothing is throwaway in this comic. That's how I come to my conclusion. I did get a kick out of them sitting by the campfire and they're trying to make a pizza. So they have like leaves that they put on there and bark and other leaves to try to make their little pizza.
I mean, compared to the 87 cartoon, this is nothing.
What are you talking about? Ice cream on your pizza is fine.
Love it.
I forget what other weird shit they used to put on pizza. I remember the little toys we would get with the pizza. They have all the weird shit on them.
Yeah, they would talk about jelly beans, all kinds of weird stuff.
Oh, 87 cartoon. Oh, what a time. And then I did notice as they, you know, they're sitting there, they finally get teleported away. You have a small scene where Pepperoni is just there by himself and he grabs one of the slices of fake pizza. And again, I also think he'll be back for sure. I think both are going to be back, but that's my prediction.
Well, if anybody was going to enjoy that pizza, it would be little Pepperoni here.
And then you also have, which again, I got a big kick on the last page, is you have the Utrons talking about how they need to get, you know, they want to track down the turtles so they can make more of them, conscript them into the army. And that's when the scientist is like, I have an idea. And he shows a Triceratops. And I like how you see the beginning of the Triceraton army, what they're going to do because of the turtles. So I do like the idea that by them going back in time, they altered things a little bit, or the idea that things are already going to be that way. Because the idea with time that you are, if something like this already happened in fate type of sense.
Right. So we don't necessarily know if it was this influenced by the turtles. Was this going to happen regardless? We don't necessarily know, but it very well could have been the influence from unintentionally from the turtles themselves.
Yeah, and I like to think that. I like to think with time travel that the idea is that once you make the decision to do it, it's already kind of in motion, but you can't change it.
Sure, maybe they altered it. Who knows? Maybe it could have been a different dinosaur. Maybe it could have been, they could have done something different with those Triceratops. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know how to see that.
And then the next issue, which is also drawn differently, the cover is them wearing samurai armor. And I was like, God damn it, here we go. We had to reference that movie. But
well, like, you did a much better job in this than that movie, that's for sure.
In 20 pages?
Yep.
It did. I didn't care for the art at first. Like when you see the turtles, the art is very, very different. But the more I read, I grew to accept it and be okay with it. Because one, they're seen as demons in this time because they're in feudal Japan. So makes sense. I mean, that's what you would think if you saw a random giant green turtle. You know, makes sense. Which I think is a reference to the movie too. Don't they call them demons in the movie? Or Kappa?
I think so.
I don't want to rewatch that movie to find out ever again. So
do not. But I think they were also going for a Japanese art aesthetic here, too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they did a good job.
It is well ugly, but it fit. I don't hate it.
It grew on me. I didn't like it at first, but as I read more, it completely was fine. Because the humans look normal. It's just the turtles have elongated mouths and faces.
Yeah, like Rennet right now. Yeah, she looks pretty.
Yeah, Rennet looks normal. I did laugh when they find four samurai taking a bath and they steal their armor. I'm like, God, this makes me think of the movie again.
Yeah.
The thing that threw me for a loop was when it's shortly after this, it goes, meanwhile, short distance away, Hamato Yoshi. And I'm like, oh, they're going there. And I did not expect, because I was thinking it was just going to be some runaway thing. They just go to feudal Japan. They're nearby. But I didn't think they were going to actually interact with, you know, Splinter. I did not expect that. And that kind of surprised me. Because, like, you really shouldn't be messing with something like that because you could alter time. But the idea is that, did they already do this? So it doesn't, I mean, they're not thinking that way. They're just thinking, hey, they don't even know it's Hamato Yoshi. They just see a guy being outnumbered by a bunch of ninjas trying to kill him, and they just jump into fight.
Yeah, well, they don't even know necessarily what time period they're in exactly. You know, I mean, they can kind of figure, but the years that Hamato was alive, they don't necessarily know that, you know?
Yeah, they have no idea. I mean, they don't know where they are.
They could probably estimate, like, oh, we're close to them and maybe we were humans. But for them to pinpoint, yeah, we're around here, that's dad. Like, maybe not.
And, of course, it's Michelangelo again who rushes forward because they're like, no, we can't interfere. We're, you know, we're in a different time. Like, we don't know what the hell's going on. We don't know who we're saving, what we're doing. Like, we need to stop. I don't think Splinter or Hamato Yoshi in this case would have had an issue. I think he's a pretty good fighter. But it does lead to other events by them coming in. And there's a small panel where Leo and Hamato Yoshi both strike with their sword, and they both have the same stance. I really like that.
And they actually say the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, sure that is cool.
Hamato, he would have been fine, I believe, anyway. But Turtles not knowing who he is, if they knew he was Splinter off the bat, maybe they would have left. Who knows? But they didn't. So they rushed in, tried to help this guy that's seemingly getting ambushed by a pack of ninjas. Because at this point, I don't even think they're figuring out who these ninjas are.
No, they don't know what's going on. They just see somebody being outnumbered, so they just attack.
And that's,
you know,
when they find out shortly after who this guy is.
I didn't think the comic would go there. I didn't. It was just it caught me off guard when it happened.
It's a nice surprise, I think. I mean, it's very interesting to see how the turtles are going to handle this time period and their dad overall.
Yeah, and I think that was interesting. I mean, it was really interesting how they did it. Like when they first hear, you know, his name, they're like, "Oh shit!" And I did find it humorous that only Michelangelo can speak Japanese, so he's the only one that can talk for them, and nobody else can talk.
They're a little pissed about that because they know how chaotic he is, scatterbrained he is, and then, oh, now we got to rely on this guy.
You got to rely on the idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate the turtle, but it's just funny that, like, that's the one that's the only one that can talk, and he ain't going to listen to you either.
Well, they did a good job of giving it to him because It does make it kind of funny that that had to be the guy to know it. You would think somebody like maybe Leo or Donatello would know. No, it's Mike.
And there are some funny, like, they so could they save him? They get invited back to his house. And there's some funny parts with Raph, I think it's Leo, just sitting there talking. And one of the lines is, I wouldn't expect you to understand. And then he's like, what, moping in a corner? You're right. That's totally outside my wheelhouse. Now will you tell me what's eating you already? And he just has the Leo, the human Leo staring at the turtle Leo. And like, yeah. He's like, it's nice to know some things will never change. And Michelangelo's playing with human Michelangelo and just tossing him up in the air. Like, I really like them seeing themselves. I thought that was a very interesting take, you know, to have.
You got to imagine just how intimate this moment has to be for them. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised they're not going outside and crying just to see any of this. And Leo saying, too, like, you know what's going to happen to them.
Yeah. And which I also thought was surprising what he does in this, because he realizes, okay, what the time frame is, where we're at, what's happening soon. Like, he knows. And it shows them go to sleep in the next morning and he's gone. He left. The rest of the turtles there, but Leo is nowhere to be found. And I think they put together pretty quickly like what Leo's up to.
Since he's missing. I mean, just based on what he was talking about, it's like, oh yeah.
Because I think they talk about betrayal, how like this goes on and on, where, you know, Hamato Yoshi won't do what the leader says, what they know is Shredder, and if they don't, he'll get mad, he'll give him some menial task, and then everything will be fine after that again. It's like, no, it won't, guys. You're all going to get beheaded. Because he's a fucking psychopath.
Understatement.
Yeah, no, and this book shows it more, too. Not this issue, but this trade. But the part where Michelangelo, like, you know, so their mother tells him where to go, and he hugs her. And he's like, thanks, Mom. She's like, what?
Yeah, she could understand what he was saying. Would have been even more awkward for her.
Oh, yeah, she can't understand. I didn't catch that. He says, okay, because he says it in English. And then he says, sorry, didn't mean to be rude. I'm just really excited to ride a horse. In Japanese, and then he says, and then I got to hug my mom.
Yep.
Such a touching little moment where it's like, that's so cool. Like that, you know, that they get to see their mother and like he hugs her. And how much you can just tell how much it means to him. I like that.
Yeah, I guess in most cases with some of these turtles, they get to see their mom in one way or another, whether they can astral project or not. In this case, they all get to see her.
Yeah, and it's just such a touching moment. Only Michelangelo can talk to her.
Yeah.
And then the next scene we have is we find out some things never change with Shredder. We have Shredder getting mad at some of the guy that tried to assassinate Hamato Yoshi that they failed, and he's about to kill him. And he has the claws again. I like that.
Giant in this one.
Oh, yeah. They did a good job with that, of making him stand out, and Leo ends up saving this random guy named... It has a name, so I'm assuming he might show up again, but who knows? Kimura. I don't know. We'll see. I've learned never to take anything for granted in this comic. If they give somebody a name, they do something, it might show up again.
Never know.
I'm okay with that. I fucking love this comic, as I've said before. And just having Leo come in that room, and they have like they have two panels in the bottom of this page, one of Leo's eyes and one of Shredder's eyes. And all I could think of was, I think I did it right. Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, like that idea that, you know, the standoff or like a Japanese standoff, or not making, well, Mexican standoff is three people, but like the idea, that's the idea of what it is.
Right.
That's just what came to my mind. And Leo goes in for the kill. He tries to kill Shredder. Like, and the turtles figure out, you know, what's happening. So they rush to the castle to go stop Leo. Because, well, if Leo kills Shredder, then they never get killed. They never get reincarnated. They change the past. You know, like the idea that if you came back and they stopped looking for a queen, all of a sudden you don't exist anymore because she's your ancestor. Same idea, you know?
Right.
I had to make, you know.
And Krang, eventually, I think they even mentioned that in this, will succeed at what he's doing in Earth, and everything is over. Because of Leo's one choice.
Because Leo's about to kill him, and then when Leo does stop, because he gets convinced by by Raphael not to do it, I think that's when because he even tells him, like you're saying, like they're telling him, like, if you do this, you trade everything we've done. All the people that we saved don't exist, and we don't exist. And that's really good, because he's about to behead him, just like he does everyone else. But I did laugh when Shredder goes to stab him in the back, and he goes, what, you're not a man? He's like, I guess the guys you usually stab in the back don't have shells, huh?
Right, I don't know. Shredder didn't really... He's kind of a smart guy. I don't know how he couldn't tell, but fine.
Because, like, my guess is he thought it was armor. Yeah, he thought they're just wearing elaborate samurai armor.
I mean, because that mask really does hide their face.
Yeah.
Pretty good, so...
I just laughed at that. He makes that comment like, well, you must stab a lot of people in the back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know,
quite some time for centuries, my friend.
It doesn't change, huh? He likes to behead people. He likes to stab people in the back.
That's his thing.
A piece of shit. And then he gets kicked in the face, and then they run off to fight the rest of the ninjas. And then while they're doing that, in the middle of the fight, they disappear. And then you get, which I'm assuming is a very, very important one-page epilogue, where Kitsune shows up, and she's talking with Shredder, or, you know, Araku Saki at this point. And the whole idea that he's like, well, I have, you know, because of the demon showing up, and she uses that, oh, it's an omen. So now he's like, okay, the next time someone betrays me, I'll just kill him. And I'm like, well, they affected, history is affected again by them showing up.
So then you got to think, well, it's that chicken and egg, what came first scenario.
Yeah.
Right? Because how could he make this decision with these demons if the turtles didn't exist already to come back in time and do this? You know, it's what came first, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing with time travel. It's one of those things where it just loops continuously, the idea of it. Or what do you change? Like, or
time is non-linear, I guess.
Yeah, or if you go back in time and change something, then you make alternate worlds where one, a boy might not drown at the beach this time instead.
I had no idea what you're talking about.
So that's what I was thinking, too. Like, the idea of them going back, like, because Kitsune was already there, you know, no matter what, that already happened. So, I mean, yes, it makes you, you know, it puts in there, like, did they affect it or at the same time? Was it like, was this going to happen anyway? It makes you question it. And that's cool. And you knew this. You knew it was coming before we started, before we even talked about this. You knew it was going to be triggering cross references. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, don't worry. There's more coming. There's some big ones coming later. But, and then it brings us to the third issue, which is them in pirate gear on the cover. And I wasn't sure about how I felt about that. I was like, do I really want to read?
TMNT Black Flag.
Okay, that would be a cool game.
I'd play it.
I won't. The way, yeah. I'm actually going to be replaying Black Flag hopefully next year. Or maybe. But maybe not. Who knows? But you're making me like, yeah, well, damn it, that would be cool. I was also expecting Rocksteady and Bebop to be in this issue for some reason.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
No idea why you would think that.
Didn't happen, by the way. Spoiler alert. But I was like, you know, if they throw Rocksteady and Bebop in here, I'll be okay with that. Just like if Slash would have been prehistoric, I would have been okay with it, too.
Somehow they can just shoehorn all that in, or any of that in.
They didn't. I'm okay with the fact. And again, the art style, completely different in this in this issue. Much more serious, much, much differently drawn, and I like it.
Great art in this one.
Yeah. And the idea that it even says they're in the Caribbean Sea, 1726, and they run into pirates who aren't pirates exactly, because they... Only they're Robin Hood type pirates. They don't kill. They just steal. They don't and
necessarily steal either.
They smuggle. So they're Han Solos of the TMNT universe in 1726. Essentially, they're smugglers.
This is the only time we actually get a date.
Yeah, the other one they don't give us anything. But it was prehistoric. I mean, you don't need a date because their civilization wasn't around for humans, just dinosaurs. So we don't care, I guess, partly. And feudal Japan, especially with Hamato Yoshi. And them being kids, I mean, you don't get a date, but I think you get dates like maybe Secret History of the Foot, stuff like that, where you would have dates or you can kind of put two and two together to give the date. Where this, you wouldn't have anything. That's how I took it.
Yeah, I guess you don't really have, you can kind of estimate, oh, it's probably 1700 somewhere. Maybe.
Yeah, 16, well, I mean, pirate, I think 15, it's a, there's a 17. Good amount of time that yeah. You have pirates and you have, you know, Britain and things like that, like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Like you have, there's a, I think there's like about 100, 200 years worth of time that it could fit into when things were like that. So made by the weapons.
I would say probably between like the 1500s to the 1700s, but that's a big ass gap. I
mean, yeah.
Other than them making like some type of comment that could be like, you could pinpoint like, oh, okay, this makes sense. It's around this age. Just give us a date. It works for me.
Yeah. Like the movie Little Shop of Horrors off that, but it opens up with Kennedy was just recently assassinated. Like, okay, now we know exactly what date it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you can give certain clues that a person could then Google. And you're like, okay, I know what year it is now, or where, or, you know, the vicinity of a time based on a big event, historical event. Yeah, but I don't think there's really any historical events in the 1700s that I can even think of other than be like, the British India Company, you know, fell under, but I think that's later. So stuff like, there's not a whole lot of stuff that would register. I mean, America being discovered, but I can't even remember when North America is discovered by Columbus. So, yeah, I guess there isn't much, but yeah, we'll just keep on.
Was that not the 1500s? That was the 1500s.
Yeah, and that wouldn't work for what they're going for. But, I mean, the 1700s, I mean, also the reason they give you this time frame is because of what's coming later. They want you to know, you know, how old a certain character is or how long he's been coming to Earth. That's a big part of it, too.
Right, yeah.
Which I did not see coming. Like, this issue opens up, you have these pirates fighting the Kraken pirates, and they're just drawn a little differently, and they all have black masks. And
a lot of these issues throw you some curveballs. They blindside you, just like this damn black ship is going to blindside this ship in a second here.
It does. And again, it's another thing that I didn't see coming. I was confused. Like, I'm like, okay, there's probably some importance to the Kraken, but I wasn't expecting what the Kraken was.
If you would have, like, because they actually show the flag really early on, but you can't really tell what it is. But when they give it, like, full frontal, nice view of it later, then you get it.
I did not, I read this issue twice. I did not catch that till just now. You pointed out, you can see it looks kind of like an Utrom skull in a way.
Yep, it's Krang influenced.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you wouldn't be able to tell in your first reading because you wouldn't expect it. Okay. And then as they're fighting the Kraken, the turtles show up, or not the Kraken, but the Kraken's pirates, the turtles show up, and then the pirates run thinking that this is part of the, could be something to do with the Kraken's plan because the Kraken has technology till they leave. And there's a comment when their boat goes away, that's when Dontell makes a sense. He's like, wait a second, that ship has horsepower. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you can't have this in the year. And when you find out what year it is, you know, 1726, there's no way, it can't have the technology it has. And I didn't catch that right away, like but the second time, like, okay, I get that now. But, and again, Raphael gets to shine for a bit. He takes the captain, pulls a gun on him, and he just, you know, uses his thigh and just flips him over with his gun.
Yeah, the captain gets a lot of shit in this one.
Yes, he does.
Early on, anyway.
But he played out to be a good character. And then the turtles end up ditching their samurai armor, of course. And it was just interesting how they did it. Like, because, I mean, again, that's why they made these pirates, you know, good guys. So you couldn't have them to make it, you know, like, oh, yeah, we're good pirates. We're not, you know. And they kind of talk about what the Kraken is and how they can't go into a certain area of the sea because he patrols it, which we find out later what island that is. And the current captain wants to leave. And Michelangelo's like, we'll stay. And by him doing that, that's what then leads them to, he ends up becoming the captain. Okay, I did laugh when he gives the inspirational speech. He's like, my name is Michelangelo and I approve this message. That was
funny. Yeah, and the only ones aware that it's complete shit are his brothers.
Raphael, the heck was that? Leo, he's been watching inspirational speeches online. Donatello, oh, we are so doomed.
Hey, but as chaotic as this guy is, he knows how to uplift people. As you can see, his influence not only on the crew, but ultimately the captain, making him, after all this, a better person.
I mean, and sometimes you have to bullshit your way in life. I mean, I've done things that have been bullshit, and that's sometimes what you have to do. You know, I ran stores, and sometimes you have to go, like, okay, we're going to do this today, guys. We're going to bomb. Like, it's all bullshit, but it made people sound, yeah, all right. Like, I mean, this is more important. I mean, this is a life or death situation. Ours was, we're going to sell more credit cards, guys. Yeah. You know, but there's your real life thing you didn't ask for. But that's what it made me think of.
So you really how it is. Or if you want to show that you can do a job, overconfidence until you fill in the role completely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll go sometimes.
I mean, you have to. And I like it that he does that. And the fact that no one knows he's bullshitting either. It's just so good.
Well, Michelangelo, I would assume, is a very good bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he likes to lie, because he's actually probably the most honest out of all of them.
For sure.
He just is, he knows how to talk.
I think this is when they also tell them the island is Burno Island. Yeah. No, nearby island. No, they don't find out Burno Island until later. But it kind of talks about the Kraken, and then you see a better shot of the flag. And I didn't catch that either, but you can really see the Utrom type of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the three lines on his head, just like Krang. And there's some cool moments, like where you have like a splash page of what they're doing as they're passing time, as they're traveling, and Donatello's fixing up the cannons, and Leo's teaching people how to fight better, and Raphael's gambling and fishing. It was just cool. Like, it was just little stuff that you see, and I really got a kick out of it. You know, them trying to, okay, yeah, when they get to the island, that's when they realize it's Burno Island. I think they realize it, or we're just told it's Burno Island. I'm not sure. No, they don't even know what Burno Island is that much, maybe, at this point. Can't remember.
I think they know at this point.
Okay.
They might know by this point.
But it's good stuff. Like, you see the man that you saw earlier in the red mask that was attacking the pirates talking with Krang, and this is where Krang looks really fucking, like, demonic and just terrifying the way they draw Krang in this bodysuit in this issue. I like it.
It's like a sci-fi horror.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool to see, and you know, he's like, you guys failed. Like, your job is to keep people away from this island. You have a ship coming close. Go, you know, go deal with it. And he gives him a laser pistol, which is also cool. Here's the technology. Go kill them. And he calls him Mr. Rhodes. And I wonder if that's going to have something to do with something later, too. Who the fuck knows? But and then you see their ship crashes into the pirate ship that they're on. The Kraken's men do, because, again, it's, you know, gas powered, essentially, or diesel powered, or whatever word you want to use. It's, you know, technology they shouldn't have.
Has some type of engine on it.
Yeah. You see the turtles fight for a little bit, and then when he pulls out laser pistol, Mikey gets shot, and then all the turtles end up jumping in the water to go save Mikey, and Renee shows up just for a second, I think. Or no, Renee, you know, no, Renee sticks around. She shows up and sticks around to help them. And then this is when the other captain, who ended up getting kicked off, because they end up they're trying to take the men hostage, and he just stands forward and cuts the gun in half, and they fight back and beat the Kraken's men. But it's them without the turtles that do it. Because Michelangelo had made a comment earlier that if you stay away from this island, if you're doing this, you're just living in a cage and pirates hate cages. I thought that was cool.
His real inspirational speed.
Yes, not the fake one. And you do get a second where you see Mr. Rhodes' face, which is all beat up and scarred and has no hair. The guy that was wrapped in the red bandages. And I'm wondering, you know, I didn't really think about it when I was reading it the two times, but now I'm wondering if maybe this will be a thing that comes back at some point.
I'm wondering, not that they ever have to give us an origin story about the guy, but why is his face disfigured? Was it a run-in with Krang? Like, what was it that really caused that?
Because they do make a comment earlier about someone that failed the Kraken, you know, failed Krang, and got essentially, it's not like he got skinned alive. So they make comments about it.
Yeah, maybe him.
Well, Krang is not a nice person. Not at this point.
Absolutely not. Ever. No point.
No, but especially after, you know, the point that this is happening, you know, his whole race is, you know, down to just him and the people in cryo chambers at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he really starts to make big strides until Baxter comes around. That's a long time to wait. How long has he been here
In one of the other issues, they show him arrive to the island in the Utran Empire, but they don't say the year. So now we know it's before the 1700s.
I think people found out about Krang, what do they say, like back in the 1960s? But this is the earliest indication that he's been here, so it had to be at some point before 1726.
They make a comment how he took out the natives of the island, but since there were no valuable resources such as oil, nobody cared. That's in one of the books. I don't remember what book, but that is referenced somewhere, yes. Yeah. And then it shows the pirates raid the Kraken's lairs, you know, Krang's lair. They blow up everything. And then one guy picks up a thing, a mutant gen. He's like, sir, we could take it. We could sell it. He's like, no, you're new to our code, but I'm not willing to bring it elsewhere. Get rid of it. And he throws all of it in the river, and the goo winds up in front of an alligator. Yep.
Big, big foreshadowing.
I was like, okay, now I know where Leatherhead, what year Leatherhead's going to come from when he shows up later on in this book. Because there's no way that's not a Leatherhead reference. No way. It can't not be. Like, that's the... I mean, one, I know he's in here because I've seen the story arc titles, and he's in the story arc titles, so I know he comes. But we'll see. I don't want to know anything else, but I was like, I don't know why, but I really, really like Leatherhead. I don't have an answer. Yeah, but I think I like him because of that really stupid Archie comic that I had as a kid that I had like a four-pack of, and he was in it. And Turtles in Time.
I could do it. For me, it was Turtles in Time, and I actually had the action figure of him.
I did too, but I think he was always laying down the action figures. I didn't like it as much. I think he's always like a lay down position. Maybe I'm wrong. It's been a long time since I've seen that action figure.
Sure, he's standing on 2 feet.
Okay, maybe I'm just thinking of the game where he runs.
Oh yeah, like all fours in the game. Yeah, that's the game.
No, I found a picture of the action figure. He's on 2 feet, but he's hunched over, and I didn't like it when I played with my toys. The other one you saw, there is another one where he's like standing straighter up, but that's a different. That's a different arc, or not arc, but different toy thing, toy line, I think. It's not the one. Maybe, I don't know. I can't figure this out. All I know is I didn't like it when I was a kid.
Yeah, he is hunched over on the first one. I remember having that damn thing, though.
I do, too. It's probably still in my parents' basement. But yeah, I never liked this thing. I know that. I just wasn't a fan of it. It's always funny.
Oh, yeah, I forgot how hunched over this thing was. That is
awkward. Yeah, I didn't like him because he didn't play well with my other figures. It's
very awkward.
Yeah, it didn't work for me, for my play style, I guess. My imagination didn't appreciate the fact that he didn't stand up straight. All right, and that brings us to our last issue. And so, then as they get teleported again when they're fighting the pirates, and then they show up in the future, in 1999. Just kidding. But so, you see him in a futuristic city, and there's some really good parts to this. Like, well, I got to talk about the cover. The cover shows him standing by a bunch of different mutant animals, and then on a telescreen TV, you see Shredder.
And what does that say? Serve the what? Leader?
I think it's supposed to be the leader. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be serve the leader. You can't see it, but oh, it says, yes, it looks like it says mutants serve the leader, which makes sense. It is Shredder. Okay. And I like how they just, you know, they're ready to fight because that's all they've been doing. And people are just looking at him like, okay. And then they're walking amongst a bunch of other mutants. And there's a comment they make when they go to a pizza place and they're like, so the future where there are no pirates, no feudal warriors, no diners. Instead, they have hovercrafts and robot waiters. And we can walk around and nobody cares. I thought that was really cool. Like, to them make that comment, because it's like, again, they can't, all they do is hide. They have to hide their whole life. And here they're actually able to be open, to be free, to be themselves, they think, at first.
They, in this reincarnation, they have no idea what that's like. No, closest they come to it is being around, like, other mutants, like Hob or stuff like that, but it's not the same as this. This is out in public and without seemingly a care in the world.
Yeah, and they don't learn right away. Like, I was also thinking when they're eating the pizza, eating sushi pizza, like, don't they have to pay for that? But that was me just being me. But, like, it's kind of cool, like, where he just... I didn't understand the person he's talking... that Donatello is talking to. Like, what she's supposed to be.
I honestly don't know either. Is that, like, a fish person? Like, I have no idea what that is.
She has web hands, and she has, like, fins, so probably a fish person.
She looks like some, like, the creature from the Black Lagoon, kind of.
Yeah. I did find it funny where, you know, she's like, oh, well, they were ninja. That's cool. Like, I'm just a guard. She's like, well, you can be whatever you want to be. And I like how they break the rules. And so she's like, you don't need to find... you find a new master. And she's like, are you insane? You know, I always think, like, if you end up in a random place that you don't know where you are, maybe you should ask them, you know, basic questions to kind of figure out, like, what the hell's going on here.
Maybe subtly, too, because you start flat out asking.
Yeah.
Suspicion also rises.
I mean, like, if you went back in time and you're like, hey, where's the Millennial Fair? Where's the bell? What the hell are you talking about, you idiot? Like, you know, stuff like that. It doesn't work well.
Still no idea what you're talking about.
I do like when, after they make that comment, when the people in the bar or the restaurant turns around, he's like, where'd you guys say you were from? We're from here. We live in Manhattan. And he's like, no one has called it Manhattan in decades, pal.
You're on Shredder Island.
I like that. It also fits Shredder that he takes New York and calls it Shredder Island. That's a Shredder thing right there. And I mean, and then they just start chasing after him. But also, like, I'm assuming there aren't that many turtles, like mutant turtles, because, you know, you don't like them. So, but I guess they're probably all races made or created this time.
I'm sure. At this point, there's probably other turtles around, I would guess. But obviously, they don't want those to mix up with, it takes the attention off of them, I guess.
Yeah. And again, the art style is different for this issue, too, as we should say. And it's much more, it reminded me a lot more. This reminded me of Zootopia, is what it made me think of. A mutant Zootopia with humans. And I like the art style. I had no problem with it. It's cartoony-ish, but it was good. And then you have Renee shows up and trips a couple people, and then they do what they always do, and they sneak into the sewers to get away from the people that are chasing them. And they go back to their old... is it their old hideout? Or just somewhere?
Yeah, because that's where they come across plans and who's going to show up in a minute here.
So I feel like this has such more importance than I ever thought it could. And, like, you have... what they do is they find a room with the four bandanas hanging up on the wall, a map that one side has the foot on North America, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia has a drawn Krang. I didn't catch this till just now, and Australia has a fly drawn on it. Huh.
I was going to bring that up for you. I was wondering if you caught it.
I did not catch that. But all I could think of when I first saw this is, like, man, this is referencing a great game from Super Nintendo where they go in, press some buttons on a computer when they're trying to get back and go, wait a second, the world's going to get destroyed. We got to stop it. That's all I could think of. I'm assuming you saw the same thing as me when you saw this.
Of course.
I mean, it just made me think of Chrono Trigger.
Exactly. But, I mean, that's it, though, man. Like, any decent time traveling story is always going to connect back to Trigger. Yeah, that's one of the best ever.
The best
they've done it. Well, yeah, besides that fact, I mean, just the aspect of time travel, I haven't found a game that's even come close time travel wise that's
no
done it.
The other,
or even stories in general, just not games, you know.
No, the only other time travel game that I play that was pretty good that made me think of Chrono Trigger Radia and Historia for DS and 3DS.
I have good. That actually, yeah, I've done a bit with that. Yeah, I can see that a bit. It's maybe a little more complex.
Way more complex, from what I remember. Because you like, it's not, Chrono Trigger is simple, simplified type time travel, so it works well. And the years are so different at going to. They're not close together. Like, this has only got to be 50, 60, you know, so many years after the current day. Because it can't be, you know, you figure out pretty quick it can't be that long. You know, not like hundreds of years.
Right, based on what we're going to see soon.
Yeah, like with Chrono Trigger, you have 1000 AD, then you have 2300 AD and 1990 AD. So you have, you know, 1000 years. So things are much different, even though somehow from 600 AD, you give somebody a beef jerky for free. And 400 years later, her great grandson is a good guy. I got nothing, but hey, her great, 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 great grandson, however that would be in 400 years. But that's another thing. But like, and then they go in the tunnel and then Renee shows up and is ready to take them out. But they do what Chrono and Marl do. We can't leave. We have to stop. We have to do something. We have to change this world. And I like how Donatello, Leo says, if we go back in time, we'll stop this from happening. And he's like, and Donatello says, you're assuming we can, Leo, but you don't know that. We don't know what caused this world. It might be something we already did. Should we have killed Saki back in feudal Japan? Should we have stopped him from taking over the city or using the mutant gen? What if we already made the mistake, that one mistake that led to all of this?
So now Leo told, hey, don't kill Shredder because it's going to have an effect on the space-time continuum. Why is Donnie the one now, the one pushing it? Just because it's in the future and not the past.
I think
this time?
Because it's the future, and because of the fact that you're about to meet future Donatello in the next page.
Sure,
but I really think it's because it's the future. Because now you're in the future, and he's much more about the future. I mean, before this, he's worrying about the Technodrome and things like that. So I think that's why it plays such a big part. I think that's why he freaks out more. Because again, he's like, well, did I not act fast enough with trying to stop the Technodrome? Did we not? I feel like he could be seen as like, did I make a mistake?
I suppose. I mean, he's internalizing it, but I think it's very hypocritical to not allow Leo to do something, and then here you are trying to change something in the timeline. Yes, it's the future, so maybe it's a safer bet, but I mean, should you still really meddle with something like that?
Well, the future is seen as something, especially in a case like this, seen as it could be changed, but they're not looking at the implications of, you know, anything. The time travel is just that. I don't think time's a straight line in general. I think if time travel is real, that there are multiple universes that will come out of it, just because that's the only thing that makes sense to me. But that's another thing. I do like futuristic Donatello, where all the other turtles are dead because Donatello gave up and they didn't. And this is also years before the Last Ronin comes out. Many years before. Is this in Last Ronin like 2019 or 2020 or 2021?
Honestly, 2021, you said?
I can't remember. I didn't look it up before I started opening my mouth.
No, I'm sure it might be much further than that. It's not going to be like current day, I don't think.
No, I mean not current day, but I mean like when it came out, like year-wise, when it was published in real life, 2020.
Oh, and this is the Last Ronin?
Yeah, this is 2014, So you already can see the idea of, you know, there being one turtle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I meant, sorry. I don't know anything about the Last Ronin. I know who the Last Ronin is, but that's it.
Wait till we get there, man.
Oh, we are. Once we hit Vengeance and 50, we're taking a break and doing a few other things that are turtles, and then we'll get back and go to 100, and then we'll see what happens.
We're gonna have a lot. You're gonna have a lot to talk about, and we're gonna be referencing this too, I'm sure. But, I mean, they're totally unrelated and have.
Yeah, no, I felt this was like the beginning of referencing that years later.
It's like it's so very much reminds you that, like, when you're reading Last Ronin, you will think about this for sure.
There also is an episode in the 2003 cartoon where they go to the future and find themselves all dead. We're all in, like, you know, in bad shape. So there's an issue about that too. Or not issue, but episode. So I mean, this is a thing, and that's 2003 cartoon. So also years before this, I don't know what season it is, but it's in that recap that I talked about before. He talks about it. So I mean, it's something that they've been playing with. But I just love the idea where, like, you know, he's arguing with Donatello, future Donatello, like he's like, we have to do something. And then I think this is when he tells him that they're going to be executing a bunch of rebel leaders. So they have to go do, so then they join to go do something because he wants to make a change. I did laugh though, like when they're going and fighting, and then future Donatello's like, well, I shouldn't probably let you die. Because if you die, I die. So again, makes sense because it's the same timeline. Yeah,
and you see how jaded this older Donatello is.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't have the same optimism or energy that this younger one, or current one, does.
No, not at all. And I think that was good, though, because, it really shows, like, how different he would be because he doesn't have his brothers. You know, it's just him.
All that he's been through. I mean, the deaths of his brothers, I'm assuming Splinter's dead at this point. I don't think they even say that.
They don't, but there's no way he's alive.
Right, so Splinter's got to be dead at this point. I mean, if we don't hear about Casey or April or any of that, so it's like he's been through a ton of loss, not to mention he's a defeated person because, as we see, he chose to let them fight as he gave up.
And just hid in the sewers. And he even says, I haven't left this spot. I forget how many he says. I think he says he's been here for years, like decade. I can't find it right now. So I like the idea that Dontell's like, we have to do something. We have to see if we can make a change. You know, and then they go to the execution. They start fighting all these mutants. And then they run up to get on the stage where they're going to execute these rebel leaders. And I think one gets killed from the look of it while they're trying to save them. Maybe not. I can't tell. It looks like he does.
One of those rebels? Yeah, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. No, okay, for sure. Yeah, it says bam, blam. And you can see like the blood inside of his head. And then another one gets killed. And I was really confused because you had like this random guy wearing a shredder type mask that's a mutant, obviously a mutant. And he's like, you know, stay where you are. The boss will want you alive. And he's about to shoot him. And then the weird one they meet earlier, the girl in the sushi bar, that the fish girl we were talking about, she ends up shooting the executioner in the back and then ends up helping them get safe. And I didn't catch this, but one of the rebel leaders they're freeing is Mikey's friend, Woody. I didn't catch that right away, but it's the same disfigured face. That's Woody. You find out later.
Yeah, right. Near the end, yes.
Because after I was also confused. Because you also see some weird, like, because Donatello and the rebel leaders, they all run one way. The other turtles stay back to give them time. And the guy that charges them, is that supposed to be Shredder? So you can't tell if it's a mutant. He has a red mask on and an army of, like, Bebop and Rocksteady's behind him with numbers.
That is supposed to be Shredder. If you look at, like, near the start of the issue, his face is going to be not on the cover, obviously. That's the Shredder we know. But in one of these panels, they actually show, right there. Right after the part where the lion gets up and he says, no one's called in Manhattan in decades.
Yeah.
You see him on, like, a banner or a TV screen.
Oh, that's cool. I love the little stuff they put in these comics. I really appreciate that. Okay. Oh, I see. Yep. A New York screen. That makes sense. And then the issue ends, or right before that, you have future Donatello picks up his headband, you know, to be the turtle again. And then at the same time, it jumps to present day where Donatello is telling the turtles, he's like, I want to quit. I've thought about it. I've thought about what if we can't win, how we just quit. He's like, I saw my future.
Hell out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you really get down to it, a guy like Donatello, extremely intelligent, he has nobody to really bounce his ideas, thoughts, concerns, anything off of. And this is the first time that he's really letting it out, besides the one time that, you know, the Technodrome mess, or I don't believe in this magic reincarnation BS. This is the time where it's like, all right, guys, I'm being as real as possible here. And that's what it took to see himself in the future be broken.
And I really appreciated that. Like, to see that, I thought that was really good. Like, to see how much it affected him and, you know, to open to them. He's like, this is how I feel. Like, this is what, like, we need to do something.
This scene right here with him reflecting the way that he is in front of his brothers and revealing that to his brothers is one of the most powerful moments in the entire miniseries. That amongst Leo feeling the way he does about his human self being killed. Those are the two most powerful moments in this entire miniseries.
Yeah, and I was impressed. Like, you know, I mean, and I read, because technically this miniseries takes place after the first issue of New Mutant Order Part 1, but that doesn't even involve the Turtles, it just involves Shredder and Krang and stuff, so that's why we skipped it, because we'll be covering it in the next episode you're going to hear in our TMT listen through. So, but it didn't affect anything, and I didn't want to do an 8-issue episode, so.
Yeah.
But I can't, you know, like, it was just impressed. Like, and I think there's some line that somebody makes about one of the turtles being like, oh, you're confused. You're a reincarnated turtle. You're confused by this. Like, you know, they make a joke about it, but I can't remember who it was or what issue in this 4-issue series. But there is a comment about it. And again, you see, like, you made a comment before about Donatello is coming much more to terms with about them being reincarnated too. And this, I think, really makes it happen way more too.
I think Donatello is the one that actually says something about, oh, and you're a reincarnated Ninja Turtle talking to one of his brothers. It, like, that also reflects, like, all right, yeah, he gets it. He's now he can joke about it.
Yeah. And I think that's good. I was just surprised with this whole little mini series. Like I, you know, like I said, no expectations. And I, man, this series just keeps punching me and be like, you need to read more, I just can't stop. Because the next thing we'll be talking about is New Mutant Order, and then followed by TMT Ghostbusters, then Attack on Technodrome, or the next arcs. I can't fucking wait for Attack on Technodrome. So
I don't remember as much, so I'm ready to reread it again.
I'm ready to read it for the first time, and I'll read it twice. And then we have then is Mutant to Moles, and then Vengeance, which is Reed Legion issue 50. Ah, can't wait. All right, we should go to our last segment though, Shelf Stacker Box, for this miniseries. And oh, Rich, why don't you go first?
Well, man, I might not know my answer on this one, but I'd actually, now that I've read it again, I think I'd actually shelve this one.
Okay.
Pleasantly surprised reading again. I think I kind of mixed this one up with one of the other miniseries that we're going to read later down the line, and that has to do with time travel or dimensional travel, stuff like that. So I kind of mixed it up a bit, I think, is where that happened. I did forget about how deep some of these can be in this miniseries, like some of the deep moments. Almost each issue has their own. Actually, pretty impressed with it again. Art didn't suck. Story was decent. Kind of meaningful here and there. So, yeah, I liked it.
Okay. Now I'll go last. I'm also going to put this on the shelf. Like I said, I came in with low expectations, and I left bewildered how much I enjoyed these four issues and how much fun this was to read and how important I think this is going to be in the series. And I just can't get over how these miniseries, none of them feel like just, we just want your money. We're like, there's content and they make sense. And every time I'm like, damn, this fucking series so good.
They put a lot of thought into every, like you say, like you really can't pass up any small detail because it's probably going to show up later. Like there's a lot of thought involved.
Yeah. And there's so much to these freaking stories. And I really enjoy these four issues, and I enjoyed Turtles in Time, and it was good. So definitely on the shelf. All right, if you want to hear more Turtle stuff, you will see a link in the show notes to all our other Turtle stuff that we've been doing. We hope if you've been, stay with all the comics. If you are, go listen, if you haven't listened to them, go listen to the other ones. They're all in the, they'll all be in the show notes somewhere. You can just go find them all. We go through this entire series, so they're all in order. And you can find everything on Podbean, and also you can search on Podbean now. Thanks to Podbean, not me, but you can search. If you type in TMT or Turtles, it should bring up all our issues there too, so you can do it that way. I do label all the comics as TMNT. Where the other Turtle stuff is actually Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I did that too. One, because there's so many fucking titles and make it easier. But go do that. You enjoyed the show. You also support us. Please join our Patreon. For the little dog, you can vote in our Patreon polls. We have a poll every month, so definitely go do that. We also have a Discord. You can join our Discord. You'll see a link in the show notes for that too, and chat with us. And I want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro, courtesy of Helena at Hell Half Sphere. You can follow her on TikTok. And I want to give a shout out to my buddy Bill Tucker, who started his own podcast, The Gamer Looks at 40. So definitely go check him out also. And please follow Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on YouTube. I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.